Job chapter 14.
Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest, till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. For now thou numberest my steps. Dost thou not watch over my sin? My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and thou sewest up mine iniquity. And surely the mountain falling cometh to naught, and the rock is removed out of his place. The waters wear the stones. Thou washest away the things which grow out of the dust of the earth, and thou destroyest the hope of man. Thou prevailest forever against him, and he passeth. Thou changest his countenance and sendest him away. His sons come to honor, and he knoweth it not, and they are brought low, but he perceiveth it not of them. But his flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul within him shall mourn.
Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation, but continue towards your Son. And just ask for any sister that's listening right now, that she can really understand what I'm talking about and have revelation and understanding, so that it can bear fruit directly in her life, and also bring about freedom, and then also expose all the deception that's in the church right now pertaining to this life. All these prayers to be followed in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to read Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 1. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." And then here at verse 6 it says, "For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." And then this is Luke chapter 11, verse 13. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him." Okay. This is Luke chapter 18, starting at verse 19. It says, "And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God." What I'm doing right here is I'm laying down a platform, very clear platform, okay, that we are not good, okay, for a very specific reason, okay, to help understand why we need to stay in the grave, okay. That scripture that I just played, Job chapter 14, is like one of my favorite scriptures. I really love the way they did it too with the music. I think it's really pretty. But Job says there, this is verse 13, says, "Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me." And then verse 2, verse 1, it says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down, and fleeth also as a shadow, and continueth not." And then verse 4, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one." And then verse 7, he says, "For there is hope of a tree if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease." I love that verse. Verse 7 is so beautiful. Okay. What I'm trying to explain here, okay, is that we need, okay, my beloved sisters in Christ, to know for a fact, okay, and cleave to it with utter certainty that we are evil. Okay. Why? Because there's hope of a tree if it's cut down. Okay. We need to be cut down. Okay. So many problems, okay, that I see with Christians are because they are still alive. They are not dead, like Colossians says, and their life is not hidden in Christ. Okay. Jesus says very clearly, "Who is good but God?" Okay. He says, "Save one." That is God. God is good. Okay, he says, if you being evil, he calls us evil. Jesus Christ is not a liar. It's utterly true. Take a look at yourself, unless you're deceived, and know that you're evil. And if you are deceived, well then, what you're seeing here with Job chapter 14 is verse 19. It says, "The waters wear the stones, thou washest away the things which grow out of the dust of the earth. Thou destroyest the hope of man." Okay. "Thou prevailest." I love this scripture. "Thou prevailest forever against him. He passeth. Thou changest his countenance and sendest him away." Man and God. Okay? Two different kingdoms. Okay? Two different kingdoms. The new man, the inner man that is formed in you by the power of the Holy Ghost, okay, is of God. Good. Okay, good. You are the tree that needs to be cut down. That's man, okay? Your old man, okay? And then he talks about that bough being brought forth. That's the new man. That's the new creation. You, a new creature, a new creature, okay? Colossians chapter 3, okay, starting in verse 9, it says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and ye have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him." Okay? Old, new. Okay? Old man, sinful, evil, corrupt, needs to die daily. Okay? That's that tree that needs to be cut down. That man's hope is evil. Okay? That's why he destroys it over and over again, because those prayers, okay, like it says here in the book of James, this is James chapter 4 verse 3, it says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." Okay, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." Okay. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Okay. So your old man, okay, is an adulterer. He likes this place. Okay. He likes this world. He likes this life. Okay. And this world is like, well, I'll read to you. This is 2 Peter chapter 3, starting verse 10. It says, but the day the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned. Okay? So your old man likes this place. He's praying. He has hope in this place, right? Okay? And if you have received and are deceived by this cheap grace doctrine, okay, or this gospel where it keeps Christians still alive, they don't understand this, you need to be in the grave dead, okay, life hidden in Christ, okay. If your life is not hidden to Christ, okay, and you're still alive, or still partially alive, or you still have areas in your life where you're still alive, well, they have hope that is in this world, which is an enemy of God, which is going to be burned and destroyed, and he is destroying your hope over and over again and prevailing against you and saying no. Right? No. It's not your will be done, right? Says the scripture. Right? Our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. His will. Okay? His. God's will be done. Okay? Because God's will. And that tree that needs to be cut down, that old man, okay, that needs to die and be crucified, okay, are opposite kingdoms. They're enemies. They're not the same. No matter how nice that old guy thinks he is, okay. And I say this, okay, I say this for many reasons. I want to paint you a very clear picture of where every last creature on this entire earth, okay, every last person, okay, every last human being stands with God. I'm going to read to you Romans, this is chapter 9, starting at verse 22. It said, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he afore prepared unto glory. Two categories with man. Wrath, mercy, period. That's it. This is Revelation chapter 27, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's it. Okay? That's it. That's it. Okay? Just two judgments. That's it. Okay? Well, one's not even a judgment. That's mercy, like he says. Vessels of wrath and mercy. Okay, you got wrath, everybody else, books opened, and then you got one other book, and that's the book of life, and that's it. That's us, Christ Jesus, book of life, right there. Mercy, that's it. What I'm trying to illustrate here, and prayerfully I did that well, okay, and it's very clear, okay, that there's no third category. There's no nice guys, okay? There's no even good Christians, okay? Why am I saying that? Because you have Christians going around thinking they're nice Christians, but their hope and their faith is not in the Holy Spirit. Okay? They are still alive. Okay? Their faith and their hope is not in Christ Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit to tell them what they're doing every day. They're not dead. They're still alive. There's still this tree that needs to be cut down. Okay? And they don't understand, and they're struggling in their relationship with the Lord. Why? Because their hope, okay, that hope, he's prevailing against it. Okay? It's man. They're still man. Okay? That's man at the judgment seat right there. Okay? You have the book of life, okay? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, okay? You got that one. And then everybody else, which is man. And they all get judged. Not one can stand before him. Okay? And they're all cast into the lake of fire. Period. There's no middle ground. There's no shade of gray. And it's the same now. And you need to understand this concept. Okay? You need to be in agreement with these scriptures. You need to say, yeah, I'm evil. And get rid of that man. Okay? That man. Okay? Which is opposite to God, which is sinful and evil, no matter how nice people think he is or she is, okay? Since I'm speaking to women here, okay? But the Bible calls it a man, but he's speaking both about men and women, okay? No matter how nice everybody think, no how men are nice, you think that old man is. You, in that secret place, okay, through the power of the Holy Spirit, no, that's man. Okay? And if you are advancing him and you are living for him, okay, and he's still alive and he's not your worst enemy and you're not slaughtering him on a daily basis, okay, hating and killing him, okay, through the power of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and your heart's not set against him, knowing that he's trying to deceive you on a regular basis, trying to take you to hell, and you need to kill him. And if he's not dead and you're not there hidden in the grave, okay, with Christ, your life's not hidden with Christ. You've got problems with God, period. Okay? The reason why I'm explaining this so clearly is for two reasons. Number one, this place is so evil, and you need to understand that, okay? You got people recycling and, you know, treating their dogs well, okay? Which I'm not trying to say you should mistreat your animals, but what I'm just follow me here with this, okay? Making donations to charities, carrying spiders out instead of squashing them, okay? Eating organic, okay? Which I like organic food, nothing wrong with that, okay? Just follow me with this, okay? Or attending a church, doing a charity drive, okay? Running, you know, marathons for donations. You got all these ways to deceive yourself and think you're nice. Seriously, okay? Degrees. It's really bad, okay? Christian books that make you feel good about yourself, okay? Not knowing that there is no more self, okay? You die to self. You don't exist anymore. You have no hope in yourself that you are good and have a claim to anything. God doesn't respect man. He prevails against him continually and destroys him. Because he's evil, and you need to know it and believe it. Okay? Because the lie that there is anything in man that is good, okay, can deceive you and take you to hell. Because at that day, your faith and your hope and your trust and your soul is going to rest that Jesus Christ, okay, through his death and resurrection, put your name by mercy in that book of life. And now in your relationship with God, it's the same. It's all the same. It's not surprise on that day. This truth, okay, bears witness in your life now, and you see it. Why? Because if you are walking through this life and you are still alive, the Holy Spirit is bearing witness against you that your old man needs to be cut down.
And this is why you have problems with God. Because it's evil and is appointed to judgment. And he's trying to talk to you. He's trying to get through to you that there are no nice guys. There are vessels of wrath and vessels of mercy. And how can you have mercy if you think you're already good? Is this clicking? Does it make sense? Do you see that? Vessels of wrath, vessels of mercy. What? Okay. None of us have any right to stand before God on our own two feet. Do you see? There's no third group. There's no nice people. Okay? The only thing that pleases God is what His Holy Spirit does through you. Period. That's it. Does He love you? Yes. That's why He sent His Son. For mercy. Okay? I praise God when I heard that. And the Holy Spirit flicked those lights on. Okay? From the book of Job. Okay? I said, that's it. No, I'm not listening to these people who are lying to me in the lukewarm church or all over the world who always try to convince me that I'm good on my own and that I have anything that is of merit on myself. That's a lie from the devil and I don't believe it. They don't know it. I know they don't. Okay, they're deceived. Okay. But me, I guard my heart and my mind from these lies and deception because any fraction of my soul, any fraction of myself believes that I will rest upon it. Okay? And now I've got issues with my one true love, Jesus Christ. Now I've got distance between me and the Father. Why? Because He doesn't like the old man. What? He prevails against him and destroys the hope of man. See this with Christians. Their hope being destroyed. Why? Because it's evil. You being evil. He calls us evil. Praise God. Don't get mad. Don't get offended. Say, thank you, Lord Jesus God. Thank you for telling me the truth. Because now I can stop lying to myself. I can pursue you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Give myself completely over to your Holy Spirit and be transformed so that now you and me can walk together. How can two walk together unless they agree? I agree with you, Jesus Christ. I'm evil. Wicked as all get out. I believe you. I agree. Let's walk together now and I can be happy with my one true love, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm evil. Thank you. Keep washing me. Thank you. Keep telling me what to do. Thank you. Keep ruling and reigning over me. Okay. What, I'm facing a trial? Is it hard? Well, let me just get nice, comfy, cozy in the grave. Honestly. Be happy as all get out. What, to your wrath is overpassed. Okay. You need to understand that because this is going to be taking place. Okay. You're going to find situations, okay, where if you truly are dead and you truly are living in the grave, okay, and your life is all about Christ, you truly are dying to self. You have no more hope in this place. All you want is Christ. You're all about Him. For sisters got sold out. That's what we're supposed to be, okay? You're going to see this because He's going to take you through trials where, yeah, His wrath is all over this place. You're going to see judgments being executed around you, not upon you, okay, if you're in the grave, okay? And if the Father looks down from heaven and He sees His Son in you through the power of the Holy Spirit, no, you're not appointed to wrath, just like the Israelites, okay, with the blood. But that's not what's going on, okay, in the Passover lamb. That's not what's going on right now. You got Christians all outside of that doorway. They're fully alive running the streets of Egypt, okay, and then surprised, okay, when their firstborn is slain, okay. When I say firstborn, what? Hope of man prevails against you. You got works out there, things that you've created, that you've done, and they get burned. They fall, and you go, why? Because it was never of God in the first place. It's man. It's you. It's your old man. That's supposed to have been dead a long time ago. You're supposed to be inside. Okay? With the blood. Okay? Tucked away, hidden in that grave. Safe from the wrath of God. I'm saying this, okay, for two reasons, okay? Because you need to understand that God's wrath is all over this place. The Bible says it. And he, just think about it for 2 seconds, okay? If a deceived Christian who's claiming the name of Christ, okay, and has a form of relationship with Christ, but he's still alive, okay, is struggling with God, how much the more these people who have all their fake good works and their karma and their this and their religion and their that and they think that they're good? It's all over the place if you open your eyes and take a look at it, okay? You got boxes preaching to you. Okay, take a look at you. If you buy health food, I buy organic food. There's nothing wrong with it, but I don't think I'm good because I eat right. Okay? Very healthy, okay? I like eating healthy, okay? But I don't think it makes me holy. You got people thinking they're holy because of the way that they eat. Okay? You got people thinking they're holy because they do this and they do that and they do this and that now they're good. You got to know God's wrath is... He hates that stuff. And you're going to see it. Just read through the book of Revelation. It's going to start happening, okay? His wrath is going to start being poured out. It's going to start being revealed. And you need to be tucked away in that grave, okay? You need to understand that for two reasons. Number one, so you don't get deceived with all these lies, especially in the church even. You got people whose lives are not hidden in Christ, okay? But they think they're good because they go to church, because they do a charity. And they'll even come and judge you when you are walking according to the Holy Spirit and give you a hard time. But you're not going to understand that if you're not tucked away in that grave, dwelling in the secret place, abiding in that vine. Okay, you need to understand that. So you don't need to deceive with all of the stuff that's out here. It's really bad. Take a look sometime. You got people boasting in their works left and right. Especially in this country. I don't know about all over the world, but I know here in the United States. I'm like, oh, okay. All right, cereal box. You're good. You're a good company. Not because of anything of Christ, right? No, no, no. They're good because they recycle. They're good because of it. Don't be deceived. If that stuff is around you all the time and you're not guarded against it, you're going to start thinking that way. I'm good because I do this. I'm good because... No. Who is good but God? He's going to... Anyways... I hate that pride. I hate it. It's going to be revealed. It's really bad. Really bad stuff. People thinking that they're wonderful and good and you're not. Nobody is good outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. Only God is good. Christ is good. And then you become holy through the power of the Holy Spirit because you become a brand new creation, just like it says, made in His image. Now you're holy. Yes. Now you're good. And you're bearing good fruit. Why? Because it's of His Holy Spirit. It's Him. It's Him. It's Him. It's Him. All day long. Him. Okay? You understand that. There's no middle ground with God. Okay? There's no gray area. You need to be dead out of this world. Okay? In the grave. Okay? Number one. Number two. Okay? Because if you're in that grave, it's your happy place. Okay? You're free. You're obeying. The Holy Spirit, you're nice and safe, and it's going to be really important because things are going to get nasty. They're going to get nasty. You're going to see His wrath everywhere, okay? Everywhere. And if you're not in that grave, it's going to be terrifying. Okay? But if you're in that grave, you're just like the children of Israel, okay, with the Passover. You're hidden away. You just kind of hang out in there. You wait until it, just like He said in the book of Job, until it passes, okay? And that's it. You just wait it out. And inside, I want to tell you about the grave. Okay, now let's move on to the good stuff, right? The grave, okay, is the happiest place on earth. Okay, it is. There is so much peace there. It's the vine, okay? It's the vine. Let me read that to you. This is John chapter 15. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Okay. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He is taken away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in me. I'm sorry, abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. I love that. Without me, ye can do nothing. And it's going to get true. You're not going to withstand these trials that are coming. They're going to come. They're going to come as birth pains. Okay? Scripture says. Okay? Before the return of Christ. they're gonna be bad. I don't know, it's gonna be really, 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 I've seen it already, really, really, really bad. Terrifying. Men's hearts failing them for fear. But you, in the grave, in the vine, okay, you know everything's okay. You gotta be there. You sit in the grave, and you watch these things, and you feel peace. You go, okay, no, this is God's hand. But I have peace with them through his son, Jesus Christ. I'm not sticking out in any way, shape, or form. I'm nice and neatly tucked in there. Everything about me is in the grave. Okay? So, I'm safe. Safe. Safe and sound. Comfy, cozy. Seriously, like a nice warm blanket. I just kind of watch these things. I love the vine. I love the grave. I'm so happy there. I'm telling you, nightmare situations I've seen. Most people would just, oh my goodness, just tell people about it. Talk to them. With the trials that I'm enduring, I'm like, oh my God, you know, they get really scared. I don't mean to laugh, but it's true. Terrifying stuff, okay? I'm fine. I'm better than fine. I'm happier than anybody else, okay? Okay, I'm being the happiest place on earth, honestly. I'm like looking at this, I'm like, yeah, it's crazy, but what happens? I endure it, okay? I go through because I'm in the grave. I'm in that secret place. I'm in that vine. I'm totally fine. I have everything that I need, okay? Cared for entirely, okay? From head to toe. Loved, okay? Like a baby, okay? Wrapped in swaddling cloth, okay? And kept close, okay, to their mother, okay? I am like super okay. And then all this stuff, this wrath, everything that God's doing takes place around me. I just tuck in and waiting for it to pass and watch it and understand what's going on. Okay. And then it's over and I come out. Christ is revealed through me. Okay. Not of myself, but through me. Okay. Because I endured with patience. Some sort of work is produced at the end. Okay. And it's glorious. Okay. All right. That vine is just, it's wonderful. I can do anything, seriously. Since I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I'm fine in there, okay? I can handle anything. Why? I got the power of God in there, okay? I've got the power of God to endure anything, all right? And it's not a struggle. It's comfortable. It's comfort, right? The comforter, he calls the Holy Spirit. So anyways, that's that. That's the grave, okay? I wanted to talk to you about that. Stay in it, okay, sisters? All right? It truly is, okay? And when I heard one, I was reading one article from one brother overseas. He was a martyr, okay? He says, it's in terms of persecution, because a grave, and we'll be talking about that later on, but when it comes to terms of enduring persecution, you have to be in that grave, okay? You got to be in there. Because if you are outside of the grave in any way, shape, or form, it'll mix you up so bad, okay? So you're not, your life needs to be completely hidden in Christ, but that's for a later thing. But anyways, just for one brother, he said, you have hurt to body, but inside so much peace. And it's true. It's like, you know, you go through stuff later on as you grow in the Lord. Okay, right now I'm talking, this teaching is mostly about repentance and coming out of the world and getting into the grave, okay? But what you'll find later on, okay, and if you already have repented and you are just completely tucked away in the grave, okay, is you'll find that you can endure anything, especially persecution in there. Okay, you're just hidden. Completely hidden. Okay? All right? And it's wonderful. Okay? It's a beautiful thing. Okay? And you have so much peace. Okay? Satan can't touch you in the grave. He has no access to that point. Okay? All right? It's a place where he can't go. He can't touch it. And you just are in there so happy. Okay? Wonderful. Like he says, you have hurt to body, but inside, so much peace. Okay? And then also, too, just on a side note, for anybody who struggles with guilt, the grave is, it's a blessing in so many ways, like basically being dead to self and not existing anymore, because it just makes you invisible, is the only way I can explain it. Like, you're not really even aware of yourself anymore, okay? And then you have, like, all this freedom, which is a real blessing, because kind of just grow in the Lord, you start to see that you are like a burden to yourself, like your own life. But in terms of things like guilt, okay, the grave and being completely dead to self and being just sort of not, I hope I'm explaining this well, but invisible to yourself in a way, okay? Where you really just don't exist anymore. You're just kind of there glorifying the Father and obeying Him and worshiping Him and serving Him, okay? If you mess up, okay, you don't really look at yourself so much anymore. It's not that you don't, because I want to be very clear about this, especially here in the United States, this cheap grace doctrine. We need to fear and reverence and obey the Father, okay? And definitely, absolutely do our best to obey Him. But what happens is when you get it wrong or you screw up, okay, your faith never was in yourself in the first place, because you don't even really exist anymore. I hope I'm explaining that well. You just kind of are invisible to yourself. So you kind of know that all power is in God's hands, which is really important too. If you made a mistake and it like actually could affect someone, you can believe and trust in God's power. You're sorry, you repent, you get back up, okay? But your faith and your hope is always in the power of the Father in the first place, because He's the one that's keeping you, okay? And so what happens is you completely believe and trust in His power, especially like for mothers, you know, Romans, I think it's 8:28 says, you know, He works in all things for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And you pray, you say, okay, Father, I screwed up. I'm so sorry. Please turn this into a miracle for my child. You know? Honestly, and you do it without doubting, knowing, okay? But it's just very helpful because you don't exist anymore. And so, and you're never, it changes things, especially if you're seeking His approval, okay? Because the devil will work you over with that. Because if you can gain your Father's approval, okay, you can also have His disapproval, okay? It's like stand, okay? But when you're in the grave and you know He created you, okay, and He loves you simply because you are the work of His hands, okay, and it's all about Him, then what happens is you're no longer seeking His approval. When things go well, you just are thankful that He blessed you and gave you that fruit, to be honest with you, okay? It gets rid of all this pride, and it gets rid of all this self-deception, okay, and the lies of Satan, because the devil really will. He'll if he can gain access to you in that way, because I have seen that with sisters, you know, with parents and things like that, in terms of guilt, okay? If he can gain, you need to repent. I want to make that clear. I'm not talking about hardening your heart to sin. You don't want to do that, okay? You sin, you need to say you're sorry, okay? What I'm talking about is you are sorry, but you can't let it go, okay? That's a doorway, okay? If you are still alive and if you ever had any faith in yourself in the first place, that is that doorway, okay? That foothold that Satan will get access to you to just constantly mess with you and bring you with this constant guilt, okay? But when you're in the grave and you're invisible to yourself, you know, and it's a fact and it's true, that everything's under God's power anyways. And then you can pray also too, which is a real blessing, without doubting, you know, that this will turn into a miracle or something good for that person, especially if it's a child, that He'll flip it and work it out for something really special for them. And then it gets, like I said, rid of all that pride, okay, to where when you do well, okay, there's no boasting, there's no, or if you are seeking, you know, the Father's approval, it changes everything. You just know He loves you, period, because He made you, okay? You're His creation, the work of His very hands. So then you can go, thanks. Thanks, Daddy, for blessing me with the victory in that trial. It just changes it to Thanksgiving, honestly. Everything that goes well, and when you do bear good fruit, and it is wonderful, you go, thank you, Lord God Almighty, praise God. Thank you so much for giving me the power, because it's the truth, it is the truth, for giving me the power to overcome that temptation. I'm so happy and grateful that I didn't stumble. Thank you for doing that for me. Thank you so much for bearing that wonderful fruit within me. I really treasure it. I'm so grateful that I have that fruit and you gave it to me, and I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for giving it to me, you know? Okay, so it changes things, okay, to where you're just thankful that He gave you the power to do well or bear fruit or overcome whatever good thing you just did, right? It's just a big thank you. Thank you for giving that to me, because it's the truth, okay? It's the truth. He didn't just give it to you. You're a vessel. A vessel is like a, you know, a bowl, okay, or a cup, okay? He just gave it to you, putting it in there. Say thank you.
and I just want to read to you. This is James chapter 5, verse 7. It says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." This is a warning, okay? When scripture talks about these days of the Lord, there is, okay, the day of the Lord, the big one, okay? The return of Christ, right? But then there's also these days of the Lord here, okay? Where the Lord sits back and he watches the situation and he lets it continue for a period of time. Okay. His commandments go out. Okay. And just like, you know, it says the husband waiteth. Okay. He waits for that fruit. Okay. To be brought about. Okay. As believers, we're supposed to listen, obey, bear fruit. Very nice. Okay. Now, this warning though, it's for if I have. And I want to make this clear, because I know most of the ladies, okay, beloved sisters, listen to me, you're trying, I know you are, okay, and you're just trying to find your way to be a more perfect, you know, believer in Christ, and you're trying to grow, you know, but you are pursuing Christ. He is your God. You are obeying him as much as you are able to. And for the most part, you know, these teachers are just to help you grow and become sort of like a lady of full stature, right? A full soldier in the army of God, okay? But just in case I have any ladies who are listening to me, okay, who profess the name of Christ, but he is not your boss, okay? He's talking to you. He's telling you to quit your job, okay, and homeschool. And pull your poor little kids out of that satanic school, okay? Or he's talking to you about your husband, okay? Telling you to forgive him and to love him and to fight for his soul rather than be selfish, okay? And focus on what he's done to you, but to be Christ-like and forgive him and love him, okay? And war for him in the spirit. He's opening your eyes and revealing to you, okay, that your husband is on the way to hell and that is why he's sinning against you, okay? And he wants you to be a vessel, okay, to sanctify him, okay, just like it says in the book of Corinthians chapter 7, okay? And you are ignoring him, okay, meaning the Holy Spirit, and more concerned with your own satisfaction, your own life, okay? And you're selfish, let's be honest, okay? You're not concerned about the gospel. You're not concerned about those in your family, okay? And more than likely, if I have any ladies, woe unto you. Let me just say that, woe unto you, okay? Listening who are like that, you see evidence of it, right? You're praying, they're not being answered, okay? It seems like there's curses upon you, okay? All right, let me warn you about something, okay? When this day the Lord is revealed, okay, if you are selfish and caught up in your own life and ignoring the Holy Ghost, especially when you got people, okay, in your own family who are on their way to hell and you could care less because you're so caught up in yourself, woe unto you when the day of the Lord draweth nigh. Once it's revealed, okay, you need to understand, okay, that you will be judged, okay, and when you fall flat on your face, you need to know, okay, that you were warned, okay, that the Holy Spirit went out, okay, and he let you know, okay, what he wanted you to do, and you disobeyed him. So don't think and deceive yourself that you can call on the name of Christ, okay, just like the Jews, okay, in Israel before the fall, okay, of Jerusalem. All right, where they were sitting there professing, okay, Abraham is my father. I'll be fine. I'll march out and fight, okay? No, they fell flat on their face. Why? Why did they fall flat on their face, huh? Because they didn't obey him. All right? Once again, I'm not talking to the sisters who are trying, okay? I'm not talking to the sisters, okay, who fear and reverence the Lord and doing their best, okay? And those who are suffering for the gospel. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the rebellious, disobedient, worldly women that are in this country, talking about the United States, and calling themselves Christians, but don't look anything like Christ. Woe unto you. Woe unto you. Don't think for one second, that when Christ is revealed in your situation, that you will find favor. Don't think for one second that the Father is a respecter of persons, and that when he judges the situation, those who have sinned,
okay? That somehow you will escape judgment because you call yourself a Christian, but yet you don't look nothing like Christ. I'll make that clear. Okay? Once again, because I know this is a very fierce rebuke. It's a very fierce rebuke. Strong with a rod. Okay? And it's not meant for any sister who's really trying and suffering for the gospel. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about these proud women in the United States. Just in case, by chance, any of them are listening. I'm talking about those proud women here in this country who are caught up in their own lives, selfish, could care less about the gospel, making a mockery of it in front of people because they're so caught up with themselves. Woe unto you. Woe unto you. You will be revealed in your situation. You will be seen for your nakedness. And just know that you were warned, and prayerfully you'll repent. And then once again, this is Matthew, just in case there's anything, that sounds a little bit much, but let's read what the Bible says again. This is Matthew 18, starting at verse 6. It says, "But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." Christ loves your kids, okay? Christ loves them. And I understand, okay? All right? I understand, okay, if a mother's trying and she knows the Holy Spirit's dealing with her and she sees what's going on with these schools, okay? And she's trying, okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about these women who called, once again, just, you need to listen. I'm doing this, okay, so that when it does come to pass, pray for you, listen and repent. But when it does come to pass, your faith won't fail. Focus on your soul. Because when I've seen these judgments come, they come bad and they come hard, okay? God is not a respecter of persons. And they can come so hard, okay, that it can affect your faith for eternal life. They're powerful. They're hard. He's not exaggerating, okay? He's not exaggerating, okay? All right? You need to read your Bible from cover to cover when you're done. Read it again, okay? All right? This warning includes mothers, okay? That's a serious job you got right there, raising a little one. You better take it serious. You're going to be held accountable for how you do, okay? Once again, I'm not talking to those who are really trying, okay? I'm talking about these women who are more concerned with what they're going to wear to work tomorrow and how they're going to look in front of their coworkers than they are about what their kid is going to be exposed to the next day at school, okay? Focused on themselves. Selfish. Okay? You need to take care of your kids, okay? To these selfish mothers, okay? You need to love your kids. You need to protect them. You need to take care of them. Okay? I'm warning you. Okay? Do that job as unto the Lord. Alright? Prayerfully you love them, okay? They don't have a hard heart, but for those mothers, because they're out there and they call themselves Christians, but they're very selfish. For those mothers that are like that, this is a very clear warning to you. Clear warning to you. You will be judged. Okay? And again, I'm not talking about eternal judgment, okay? On this particular teaching. I'm talking about the day of the Lord that is revealed. Okay? For he gives every man according to his works, okay, to get them ready for eternity. A warning, a call to repent, judgment. All right? Do a good job as unto the Lord. And just one more time, because I want to be really clear on this one, okay? Number one, this is a warning and a call to repent, okay? Number two, if you don't repent, remember this. I know you will, okay? By the grace of God, okay? That you were warned. Okay? And I say this again. I want to make this really clear because it's important, okay? This is because when these judgments come and this day of the Lord is revealed, it's hard. And I've seen people in these situations, okay? And it's so severe, okay? It's so severe that it can overthrow their faith. But I don't want that to happen to you. I want you to know this is God just for fulfilling his word, keeping his promises. He's got a bunch of really great promises, and he's got a lot of very stern and serious warnings, and he's not a liar. Okay? So when you find yourself in this situation, prayerfully you hear me and repent. Okay? But if you don't, and you find yourself in these days of the Lord, and you're being judged, okay, and Satan's on your back, okay, now, not only did he get access to you here in this life, but he's trying to get access to you eternally and overthrow your faith, okay? I want you to hear me, okay? This is just judgment. This is God fulfilling his promises, okay? This is God keeping his word, period. You were judged. Just repent, okay? Just repent, okay? Just repent. That's all. Just repent. Don't lie to yourself anymore. Don't deceive yourself anymore, because it's dangerous spiritually, okay? You can get caught up, okay, in a bunch of deception and get lost, okay? And also, too, if I may reason with you, okay, anybody who's listening, and if thankfully this is reaching someone, okay, and you've seen the day of judgment and you know, okay, if I can, we do this by faith, okay, in obedience, okay, die to self, okay? Advance God's will, not ours, okay? That's what this teaching is about. It's about the grave, okay? Being dead to self, okay? But the deception, okay, if I can reason with anybody who has disobeyed the Holy Spirit when he's doing this with you, the deception, okay, that I've seen with people when they won't die to self is that God's not going to take care of you, okay? You're deceived, okay? Know that, okay? The grave is the safest place for you. All right? Nobody can take better care of you, okay, than Christ. Not even yourself. You don't know what you need, okay? You don't know what's good for you. You have no idea what you're doing, okay? He does. He's God. He's extremely smart, okay? So you get in that grave and you know you don't have to worry when the devil comes lying to you, okay, trying to get you out, trying to get you to live again, okay? You stay in there. And you believe and know for certain, nothing doubting, that Christ loves you and he knows how to take care of you. It's the safest place for you. Okay? And all of this you can pursue by faith. Okay? All of it. You can ask to die to self. You can ask, okay, to love others as yourself. Okay? You can ask for all these things by faith. Okay? Because what I see with people, okay, in these situations, okay, and they're extremely selfish, is you, what you don't understand, okay, is how much you hurt people, okay, and the pain that you cause. I've seen this, people hardening their hearts to children when they know good and well that their kids are in a bad situation, okay, but they harden their hearts, they'll be fine. God's in charge, twisting scripture even at times, okay? No, he's commanding you, okay? He wants you to do what's right to help out those kids, okay? Because what I've seen is these people who are selfish will go through suffering, okay? And be extremely tender-hearted to their own suffering. I expect everybody else to be really tender-hearted to their own suffering. But yet, it's complete hypocrisy, okay? Because they've hurt others, all right? But yet, could care less and don't even think about it. Or have the response that they'll be okay, just have faith. Just some strange deception. But what it is a hard heart to others' suffering and a tender heart to their own suffering. Woe unto you, just please hear me out and repent, because all of this does not... it goes really bad for a person. I've seen people go through a lot of bad stuff, okay, to get this squared away, okay? So please, okay, just stop lying to yourself, okay, and deceiving yourself, okay, if there is anybody listening who is doing this, okay, so that you can cut it short, okay, so he doesn't have to keep wrestling with you and fighting with you, okay, to get you to a point of honesty and truth, okay? That's helpful. And if any sister has any questions, I say sister because of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. I'm only commanded just to teach over ladies, okay? So this is for ladies only. If any sister has any questions, needs any clarification, you can always just text me, okay? All right. Love you. Take care.